home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Rated G Radio, and we've got Rob Watson. I'm going to try calling in on my regular line. Let's try this. Is it going away? It's not going away. Okay, hold on. Rob, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
You're there. Oh, there we go. I don't know how to use my telephone, Rob, so goodness gracious. So, okay, so I'm going to go on a rant for just like 2 seconds here, and then we'll get started with the show. So, God bless Blog Talk Radio for trying to come up with greater ways to have exceptional sound and quality for their programming. So they have this new thing called Direct Connect that you can give out to your guest, and you as the host, that would be me, can dial into, or you press a button, and it's supposed to sound like, you know, you're as clear and clean and crisp as like a quote-unquote real radio show. Except the problem is this Direct Connect option that they have is a piece of shit, pardon my French, at 10 a.m. on a Tuesday morning, and it works about 40% of the time. Now, alternate to that, for ages, they've got a Skype connection. So I think they have this conspiracy against Skype because they're trying to funnel everybody over to use this Direct Connect option. And at that point, it's becomes, and Rob, you're fading out now too. It sounds a little garbly.
Am I?
Yep. And
I'm on the Direct Connect. I got the mic.
Yeah, I don't know. So we'll try it. We'll see how it goes. If that doesn't work, I'll have you call into the regular, you know, 323-657-1493.
Okay. Well, I've got my phone here.
They've got the Skype connection, except now that when you call into the Skype connection, conveniently, any time that I need to do a show and I try to use the Skype connection, it always rings busy. And they've got three different Skype connections. So you would think that, you know, out of those three, one of those three would be okay. So I sent a note to the Blog Talk tech support, and I said, you know how disappointed I am in this is that, you know, the Direct Connect either connects you in and it sounds great and then it disconnects or it doesn't work or whatever the case is. Why are you launching this when it's absolutely a horrible solution? I want to use the Skype connection, except now you conveniently have all the Skype connections, you know, blocked off. And they emailed back, very polite response. This poor Mandy Lynn, you know, she's always so polite and always so wonderful to deal with in customer service. And, Rob, it sounds terrible. I'm going to can you call in on the regular line?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Even with me not talking, it's terrible.
Yep. I'm getting feedback. And so Mandy Lynn sends back, you know, we sure apologize and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, but, you know, usually, you know, those Skype lines become free after a minute or two. And I'm going like, that doesn't help me when I need to call in, you know, 5 minutes or 10 minutes before the show starts to get the studio going. And then to find out that all of the connection lines are occupied, that does me no good. So my alternate option to connect in now is to dial in on the regular phone line like I've just done now. While it doesn't sound terrible, and I'm using a headset and all of that good stuff, it could sound a lot better. And so Blog Talk Radio, I'm very disappointed in you once again for exceeding my disappointment levels beyond comprehension. So with that little rant and rave out of the way, Blog Talk Radio, get your act together. We're going to be doing Super Gay Radio today, and we're actually going to be changing the name of our segment with Rob. We're going to be changing that into the new year. Rob is going to be a regular co-host. I'm not going to say guest co-host. He's going to be the regular co-host for the Thursday night show, and we're going to be calling it Rated LGBT Radio. And I might, because it's just kind of like Tourette's. You know, once I start saying Super Gay Radio, I can't stop saying it. So Rob's convinced me that, you know, I need to just kind of like widen my periscope here, and we're going to be calling it Rated LGBT Radio, but it doesn't have the same Super Gay Radio, but we're going to be doing that on Thursday night. So Rob's going to be a guest the regular co-host on Thursday nights. Tonight, today he's my co-host for Super Gay Radio on a Tuesday morning, this Thanksgiving week. We're going to talk about LGBT issues, and if you would like to call in and chat with us, the phone lines are open. We realize that many of you are going to be listening from work or in your car while you're driving or something like that and can't call in, which is okay because we know that you'll be listening on demand. And, lending us your thoughts and ideas either on Facebook or sending us emails and all of that good stuff. But like we always say, you know, I'll do this now since we weren't able to get a proper introduction before. Without further ado, we have KSCO 1080's out in Santa Cruz, brilliant co-host for that show on Saturday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Mr. Rob Watson. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Very glad to be here.
Yay!
I'm glad to be joining on. I mean, I can't wait for our show that we're going to do in the new year. I know. I'm excited.
And you've come up with some really cool ideas, and I think we're going to be doing some fun stuff from giving out, you know, gay advice to, you know, talking about current events, showcasing a lot of the articles that, you know, you're just blowing up the internet is what you're doing, Rob. But you've
well,
got
trying. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I appreciate you doing it because it's, you know, it's one article at a time, and it seems like every time that you post something, you're on the front page of Yahoo again, you know, and I think that, you know, you're becoming this phenomenon, and I'm just honored that you'll, you know, take time out of your busy schedule to be part of, you know, this little experience that we do.
Well, one thing I probably shouldn't talk about because it probably would jinx it, but I'm going to anyway because, you know, what the heck, but I actually may be next year co-authoring a book and maybe trying to put out a book of my own. So
yay,
we're broadening our scopes. But I have to point out I do come up with bad ideas, but I just kind of funnel them out or screen them out before I share them with you. I had a very weird idea about doing the fortune cookie of the day and having somebody call in and we read a fortune cookie on them, but I thought, yeah, that's really awful.
Why?
That's a bad idea.
What's so terrible about that?
Okay, maybe it's not such a bad idea. Maybe it was just, you know.
Here's the deal.
When
we do this, before you read the fortune on air, you know, you can actually have a real fortune. That's really cool. But, you know, not that we're going to, like, put the fix in or anything like that, but have, like, four or five fortunes that you've written yourself on standby in case the real fortune comes out and it's like, oh, I'm not reading that.
Yeah, okay, we're going to our prearranged fair that we pre-screened for you. Yeah. No, I thought about it because I grabbed I had Chinese food last night and I had my leftover fortune cookie in its little wrapper here and kind of going, wow, it's a mystery. It's like somebody's
Open it up, see what it says.
I went off mic, so I'm holding my phone here.
You're good.
Yeah, we're balancing. Okay, whose fortune is this going to be? This has to be yours.
Is that how it's going to work? So if
that's gonna work.
I don't have fortune cookies. So what do you want me to do in return? You know, because
all right. I'll be generous and be just the giver today.
Oh well, thank you very much.
Okay, here's your fortune. Stick to the basics. Be weary of novelties. That sounds like a weird word for that.
No, you know why that's so appropriate? The novelty of the day is this Direct Connect crap from Blog Talk, and Stick to the Basics is the basic telephone, we call it the POTS line, plain old telephone service telephone line.
There you go, and there was your fortune cookie of the day.
Wow, that is true. I can't believe how lucky we are to have such a great fortune, you know, already telling me how the day's going to go. That's awesome. Okay, cool.
There you go.
Right on. So what's been going on in your world? You've had a lot of really cool things happening. You had a great guest this past week on your radio show out in Santa Cruz on KSCO 1080 AM up in Santa Cruz.
Yeah, it was fun. We had the founder of Sherotica Storms, new publication coming out. And, you know, it's part of the goal there is to have people on who are, you know, launching new innovative stuff. It's a new world, and it's intriguing to see what the next wave is going to bring. So we wanted to have her on and kind of share with us the excitement there and, and the vision that they have got going. So that'll be good. This next weekend, though, is not to downgrade my guests from last weekend, but this next weekend, I'm really excited. We have Michelle Joust. And Michelle Joust just directed a documentary film. And the film is about, she is a, or was, a personal friend of Matthew Shepard. And
wow.
She made a documentary about their relationship as friends and giving more insight into Matthew as a person rather than what he's become as a sort of symbol icon for hate crimes. So very, very excited to talk to her.
Can I ask a question here? If you have insight on this, or I would like an opinion, is really what I'm trying to fish
sure.
for here. So after all of these years, and after the tragic, horrible death of Matthew Shepard, is it stretching for people to now come out with movies and books and things like that about, now here's my relationship with, and here's something new? It's like, is there really anything new at this point that we have yet to learn, or stories that have not been told about people's relationships with this young man?
And to be honest with you, she sent me a link to the film, so I have to watch the film. I haven't seen it yet. It has gotten a 5-star rating across the board. So my uneducated answer to that sounds like it's going to be yes, that there
okay,
is something
well.
more there. I have not done all my homework prior to our show this weekend. You have to listen in.
I will totally be listening in. I always, like, it's funny. Everybody thinks, lifestyles of the rich and famous, you must be out at all these Hollywood events all the time and that time. More often than not, on a Saturday night or on a Friday night after I do my show, I'm watching, Scandal on Netflix, or I'm doing other show prep, or, so it's really glamorous types of things. But
I have a radio show. Saturday night, talk about Mr. No Social Life.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that funny? But, sometimes I think, at least for me, if I look back and I'm being honest with myself, making a decision to do a radio show at 7 p.m. 5 nights a week, and the plus, the other stuff that I've got going on, I think sometimes I did those things almost as a little bit of a self-sabotage to prevent myself from having, more social activities. In whatever capacity after, that, because by the time the show's done at 8 or 9 o'clock on a Friday night, and get everything else wrapped up, I'm tired. The last thing I want to do is kind of go out, try to go somewhere and be cute. So anyway, by the way, we've got Tony in Hackensack, New Jersey, who's listening in this morning. Thanks, Tony, for tuning in. He actually saw that documentary that you were talking about, and he said he did see it, and he liked it very much. He said it was broadcast on Logo. So that's good to hear. Tony, by the way, has kind of did a little guest spot with us impromptu probably about a month or so ago. Time just kind of runs all together. And Tony's actually Tony, tell me how many years again on Facebook, ping me and tell me how many years you've been doing this, but he's involved with the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and he's what I think they call a supervisor for that now, and so he's able to actually lead one of the floats, and so he's very, very excited for Thursday, because this is something that he's done, over the years, and he takes great pride in it, and he's very respected within the, parade community there with Macy's. So it's really exciting to see one of our listeners, do something kind of fun and creative that's outside of the outside of what I call the norm. Here he is. He says he's a balloon captain. This is his 5th year as a captain, 9th year with the parade. So everybody here's
wow.
Thanksgiving morning for the Macy's Day Parade, you want to look out for Tony. So he'll probably be like at the front of the balloon. He's a big, tall guy with dark hair. And the balloon that he's going to be leading is Diary of a Wimpy Kid. So the Diary
oh, okay.
of a Wimpy Kid, look for Tony G out of Hackensack, New Jersey. He's going to be proudly leading the charge for the Diary of a Wimpy Kid balloon. So that's really cool.
My sons will be impressed. They are big Wimpy Kid fans.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Because, and this is the funny thing. When Tony told me the balloon that he was going to be doing and he showed me a picture, my first, and Tony, I'm so sorry, you know, but I, you know, I don't get out much. I went, that's nice. What is that? I had no clue. And so he had to kind of, you know, bring me up to speed a little bit.
You have to get kind of connected to the younger set to do that. There is a cycle that kids take you through as a parent. It's almost like cults that they join, and you have to kind of keep up with it. The first one is Thomas the Train. I don't even know what it is. I couldn't even explain it. But at 3 and 4 years old, they become little Thomas the Train ditto heads. I've had other parents have remarked that their kids could name every name of all the different train engines and who they are before they could name animals. I mean, it's like,
oh,
it's
my
that
gosh.
Pervasive. And then other things creep in. Pokemon, Diary of a Wimpy Kid. The big one now is Minecraft. That is just, that is almost.
Isn't that video game?
It's a video game. I can't explain it to you, but it's a video game.
It's a video game.
They create their own worlds and blow them up.
Because we're of a certain age. So was Dungeons and Dragons and Tunnels and Trolls and that type of stuff, was that big when you were growing up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I didn't do it, but it was. I think it wasn't as big because you had to really commit, and it wasn't online. It wasn't easy just
right.
To
you had to get together
right
with your
it.
Friends and
yeah.
hang out
yeah.
and do it. Well, I like Tunnels and Trolls. I think that was the name of the game, and it's 700 years ago, so I don't really remember. But when my friends that were into it wanted to start doing the Dungeons and Dragons, that to me was just too complex, and I couldn't connect with that. So my life in fantasy as far as game playing goes ended then and there very swiftly. And I always wanted to get into, like The Hobbit and, you know, Lord of the Rings and all of that. And I think I might have read one Hobbit book, but that's even a stretch. And that would have been like probably seventh grade, definitely. I don't think eighth grade, and by ninth grade, that was totally not even in the realm of, you know, that would have been way too geeky. But that was such a weird era because everybody, at least, you know, in my middle school was like, oh my God, the Hobbit, Lord of the Rings. And I'm like, I just don't get it.
Yeah. Well, that one has a little bit of a carryover. My kids are reading those now. The Harry Potter books, though, it was amazing to me. I read all of them even as a grown up. My son Jesse, who had problems getting into reading at all, read through all of the Harry Potter books in lightning speed. I could not believe how fast he read them. It was like,
wow,
that's amazing. And it served its purpose. It getting him into reading and getting that discipline going. You know, the video stuff, debatable.
Well, it's funny because I had, I'm trying to think, who was the guest? It was my guest, Kathy Porter. She's a science fiction author, and if memory serves me right, I got another book to read this weekend. Kathy's going to be on Monday, and her first book that she published is called Earth's Final Conflict. And we're so off topic today, but that's okay. But in Kathy's book, Earth's Final Conflict, she's a science fiction writer, and she writes about, you know, these aliens that come to Earth, and there's two different varieties of aliens, and, you know, which one do we believe? Which one is really going to save us? Can we believe any of them? And, you know, so it tells a fascinating story. And I told her one of the reasons I like her book is because she writes in a way that I can set the book down, and when I pick it back up 6 months later, and this is, I should just sit down and read the book and just be done with it. But some books I like to read, and it's kind of like having a really good meal. You want to stretch it out as long as you can, because once the meal's over,
right,
the meal's done. That's Kathy's book. And so I have purposefully not, you know, sped read the whole thing and just crammed through it. And I said, you know, as a woman, and this is not meant as a sexist statement, but, you know, you just don't find a lot of science fiction writers that are women. As a woman, how did you decide you wanted to write science fiction? And how do you, you know, write strong female characters in science fiction when that is not the norm? And she says, well, when I was growing up, I was so dyslexic, I couldn't read at all. And I would cry, and I would be so upset, and I would, you know, I would get punished, and I'd have detention, and nobody understood or knew at the time what that was. And so when I would go to the library, you know, one day I said, I'm going to just figure out what I'm going to do, and I'm going to be able to sit down and read, and I'm going to do my best, blah, 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 blah. She tells the story much better. Long and short of it was, she opened a Ray Bradbury book, and suddenly her world just, everything made sense. And it was because of Ray Bradbury and science fiction that she developed a love of reading and was able to overcome her dyslexia and now writes these great books. So, you know, you never know what's going to, you know, trigger, you know, if, there, you know, any kid has a learning disability or adult has a learning disability, what's going to trigger their reaction to help make them go, oh, now it all makes sense. Isn't that wild?
Right, right. Yeah, no, it is. It's with my son because he's got a lot of attention issues, and I'm not, for a lot of various reasons, not into the medicating my kids kind of mindset. You know, he has great attention for things he's passionate about. And
right.
So, you know, getting him involved in that and getting him passionate has, you know, stepped that up. So it's, yeah, it's all interesting, but, and it's interesting to see what is embraced sort of on a mass level. Because right now, like the Minecraft thing, you know, I'm on in a lot of dad blogger groups and things like that. And it's universal. It's like all of our kids are into it. It's, you know, it's like this unwritten thing. And it's like, well, what, they all get a memo? How, you know, where did this come from? You know,
right.
It's wild. You know, it's so, kind of like the challenge I have with, you know, I'm not a big proponent of guns, and that's an understatement. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I've never, as I was raising my boys, you know, never got them toy guns, you know, and all that sort of stuff. You know, got them Lego set, and what did they build? Guns. Like, okay.
Well, isn't that part of, you know, growing up and stuff? Because I know I did the same thing, you know, with like Lincoln Logs or Legos or, you know, any of that type of stuff. And my family was totally not into anything, you know, violent. Nothing, you know, I don't think I ever saw an, you know, a PG movie or definitely not an R movie until after I was 17. You know, where do you think that comes from?
I think there's a certain hormonal thing with boys, and it's a power thing because you feel powerful with a gun, you know. It's, and that's the same thing with a lot of the video stuff I see my kids into, or especially my one son, is he has control of this world that he is in, and he's just turning 13 this week. So, you know, getting to totally control his whole world is a luxury for him because he's not allowed to yet. He, you know, and there's larger parts of him that want to control more. So we're, for me, the parent-child dynamic is navigating what in his own world he gets to control and what I still need to control for protection / discipline. And, but when he goes on to his video game, then, you know, no dad, no rules. He gets to call the shots, and if he doesn't like that building, he just blows it up. You know, so.
Well, you know, it's kids, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, yeah.
So what are you going to do for his birthday, you know, that since it falls on a Thanksgiving week this year?
You know, his birthday has always been, he's always had that turkey anchor on his birthday.
We're
probably going to go there's a place that does go-karts, kind of speed racing type stuff.
Oh, my God. That is
weekend.
The funnest.
We're going to take that him there for his birthday. And he'll get kind of a rolling birthday through our various Thanksgiving celebrations with the family. Thing about Thanksgiving, you know, I really feel sorry for people whose birthdays fall on, like, Christmas.
Because
that is a major collision course. Thing with a Thanksgiving birthday is the date Thanksgiving always moves. So there are years when he has had his birthday right on Thanksgiving itself. And then this year it's the day before Thanksgiving. And, you know, it falls all over the place. For whatever reason, poor kid, luck of the draw, when his birthday has fallen on Thanksgiving itself, it's like a cursed birthday for him. He has been totally sick, throwing up the whole bit. On it's happened twice in his life now, but it's all on those days. And both of those, he was sick as a dog for his Thanksgiving / birthday. And so, and then that's his cross to bear.
So I think, you know, if we turn the calendar back 9 months, what was happening 9 months before? Is that like Valentine's Day or something?
I'm not sure. I've never speculated on that.
You know, because whatever's happening 9 months before, we, you know, especially for like Christmas, you know, so between like Thanksgiving and Christmas, you back the calendar up 9 months, and you people cannot have sex.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, my birthday is the beginning of September, so I'm pretty sure I was.
It's a New Year's.
One of the things that happened at New Year's, yeah.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So, well, what's been going on in your writing world that is, heating up the internet this week? Because you've got a bunch of stuff that's out.
Going from my procreation to my creation. This week, yes. As a matter of fact, I just this morning launched one. It's not really a creative piece by me. It was more a good friend of mine who is very involved in Utah and by osmosis, the Mormon Church and all the happenings that have been going on there. And he is affected by it. It has affected his family greatly. But he has been a real driver behind a petition that is calling out the Mormon Church for their recent anti-gay rulings that they have put into place, and specifically ones that attack same-sex marriages and attack the children in those families where there's a same-sex marriage. So he has a petition out that is calling for different performers to not perform with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, which is a big outreach for the Mormon Church. You know, it's very cultural and sort of seemingly non-denominational, but in fact it is, you know, the music of the Mormon Church. So, you know, he wanted to make a statement and have these performers make a statement. And so that petition's out. The press release this morning is the fact that 15 out of the whole group of Supreme Court plaintiffs in the marriage equality case have come out for this petition and are helping to drive it. So, and I have a piece on that on Evol Equals this morning, calling out and quoting those different plaintiffs on their viewpoint on what the Mormon Church has been doing, as well as supporting this petition.
Well, I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, where that gains momentum, because it seems like what happens with a lot of your articles, Rob, is that, you know, because you've got a huge following. And I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people read and follow your work on a regular basis. But then, you know, what ends up happening is, you know, one of them, you know, will then post or will go to another group. And the next thing you know, you're on Yahoo or, and you know, you're on MSNBC or you're on, you know, whatever news, you know, broadcast talking about this. So I'm going to be thrilled and excited to see what happens for you as this this blows up again. Because it's just, you know, we've talked offline on it. It said, you know, just everything you do, you're just so on point as far as, you know, how it ends up hitting the airwaves, so to speak, and it just goes and creates such a stir and awareness. And so I appreciate that. We're going to take a real quick break. I'm trying to follow Rob's lead because Rob actually is really good at clock watching on his show. He takes a break at 20 minutes after the hour and 40 minutes after the hour without fail. So even if you're mid-sentence, he says, we're going to commercial, Garrett, be quiet. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, hear from It Matters Radio and Rainbow Brew, and we'll be right back right after this with more with Rob Watson, my co-host for Rated LGBT Radio.
Welcome to our discussion of It Matters Radio. Our guest today is Angus McWilliams.
Hey, laddie, let's get on with this thing. I'm on my way to a birthday party for Nessie.
You're throwing a birthday party for the Loch Ness Monster?
Well, first of all, it's not a monster. And second of all, I'm talking about niece Nessie. She's a wee bit of a lovely lass.
I see. Well, okay. Angus, can you give us your thoughts on It Matters Radio?
Aye, wonderful people. They had me on a while back to talk about my book.
Your what?
My book. I wrote a book about the adventures in Scotland.
Oh, I see. A book.
That's what I just said. What are you, a deaf man?
It Matters Radio focuses on discovering new talent and bringing important indie artists on the air. Monica, Kenneth, and Carrie offer up meaningful conversation on new music, books, and fun topics. It's unlike any other radio program known to man and woman alike.
You can say that again.
Known to man and woman alike.
Just because I said you can say it again doesn't mean you have to say it again.
I'm just doing my best to show everyone that It Matters Radio basically brings variety, fun, and entertainment with a sincere desire to discover new topics and talent.
Why didn't you just say that?
I just did.
Hey, Letty, remind me when I can listen.
It Matters Radio is on every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific.
You Americans with your different time zones. We only have one time zone in Scotland.
And that would be...
That would be the time to down a pint or two of ale.
It Matters Radio, for the best in conversation, music, books, and entertainment. Join us Thursday evenings at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. Discover the depth, diversity, meaningfulness, caring, guest-focused, friendly, enjoyable atmosphere of It Matters Radio with Ken, Monica, and Carrie.
That's a mouthful if I ever heard one.
Yes, and I'm going to go brush my teeth now. It Matters Radio.
When it comes to coffee, freshness is queen. That's why Rainbow Brew believes you should have the freshest coffee, roasted to order in small batches and delivered to your door within a couple days. Whether you're purchasing for a coffee shop, restaurant, or home, Rainbow Brew is your one-stop shop for fair trade and organic coffee. Offering many unique blends, including AM950's own Blue State blend. That's Rainbow Brew, the queen bean, a proud sponsor of The Morning Grind. Online at rainbowbrew.com. Brew something good today.
I love the folks at Rainbow Brew. They're out of Minneapolis, St. Paul, and I tell the story every time we play their commercial because I just still can't get over it. They contacted me, and I said, I'd love to have you be a sponsor on the show. And I said, but how do you grow anything that tastes halfway decent in the frozen tundra of Minneapolis, St. Paul? And they sent me some of their coffee, and I'm like, oh, now I get it. So if you like the Rainbow Brew Facebook page, they've got like a fan page. Go like that. They'll update their page every so often with specials, you know, like, you know, use this coupon code and get a dollar off, or mention this and get, you know, money off, or do this and we'll do this. And so if you go and order some coffee off of rainbowbrew.com and like their Facebook page, you know, because, of course, you got to support the cause. They are an LGBT business, by the way, small business as well, so you get a bang, bang for your buck. They will actually do a happy dance in their coffee shop in Minneapolis if you buy some Rainbow Brew and have it shipped to you. So I highly encourage you to do that today. So today we are doing our rated LGBT radio with my co-host, Rob Watson, of the very popular weekly broadcast out in Santa Cruz on KSCO 1080 AM in Santa Cruz, California, live Saturday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Rob, I know we were just talking about one article that you've got, but you've got a second one that is causing all kinds of stir right now. What one? What is that one about?
Yeah, that one has actually gone a lot more viral. The other one was just brand new. The other one, it covers two stories. I put them kind of together and juxtaposed them. There is a teacher in Texas, a preschool teacher, who one of the children in her class was or is a transgender child. And the teacher was refusing to call the child by the new given name that the child wanted to be called by, or to use the child's chosen gender terms, you know. And she is suing the school. Her lawyer said that the reason she's suing the school is that it is an infringement on her religious liberty to do what this child and the child's parents have requested. And that, as a parent, just completely flipped me out, that you know, somebody can claim religious liberty to do whatever they want with your child when they have them in their care. That has actually got some really scary ramifications, because the Bible actually has some really draconian methods of quote-unquote child rearing, mm-hmm. including a number of which advocate beating children. So
well, let's face it, there's a lot of things that are in the Bible that if we, you know, actually took them literal and brought them into modern times, I think a lot of people would, well, they'd be dead. But that's beside the point.
Yeah.
You know, but, yeah. It's like, I don't know. Anyway, I'll get up on a soapbox, and that's probably not a good thing.
Yeah. So in conjunction with this, I was already working with a family, this lovely couple, named Vanessa and Ron, and Vanessa and Ron have a 5-year-old child. Their child informed them that they had made a mistake. As soon as she could talk, she was letting them know that she was not a boy, as they perceived, based on her physical attributes. And she was telling them, it's like, I know I have one part that's a boy, but the rest of me is all girl. And you know, it was completely pervasive, and they decided they needed to listen to their child. And so their child picked out the name Ellie, and because she was okay with the name they had given her until she realized that by using that name, people would perceive her to be a boy. So it just was astounding how this child, the first thing this child knew was what her gender was.
Wow.
And, you know, everything else as she was learning other things, it's like, well, whoa, that's not right. Because here's who I am and what you're doing right there, that's not right. So I got their feedback on this transphobic teacher of Texas. And the article focuses in on the transphobic teacher and those opinions, those outside opinions about trans kids, and this family who is growing up with one and understanding and supporting their child. And you see the pictures that are attached to the article, and when you see Ellie, you see this beautiful projecting little girl that is full of life and vigor and confidence, and it's just, you can tell that being able to own one's own identity is vital. It truly dampens the spirit when you are forced into a box that is not you. And so that is the article that's out now. That has been on Evolve Equals, shared 3,000 times with that.
Wow.
It's been on LGBTQ Nation, shared another 3,000 times off of that website, just appeared yesterday on The Next Family, and it is likely to appear on several other websites before it's done.
Good for you. I'm so proud of all your writing. I think it's a great testament, not only as a writer and as a profession, but also for, you know, just the entire community for bringing a lot of these issues to light. Because I think sometimes, you know, we forget that, you know, we see all these great things that are happening, but it takes people like yourself to, you know, make them start happening.
Well, it's an honor, actually, to get involved with these things. I mean, I have, you know, I look at my Facebook friends list, and so many people on my list are different families that they've let me in, they've allowed me to get to know them, to write about them, you know, present them out, let people know who they are. And they are just astounding people and parents. And it makes me so proud to be among them as a gay parent. These are parents who love their kids so much. And many of these parents have stepped up to kids who have real challenges, and none of them shrink from those. And the kids not only deal with the challenges, they go beyond them. The one other couple, for example, I wrote about some time ago is Chad and Wayne, who are a couple in Canada, and they had a horrific story having their child. The mother was pregnant, they knew the baby would be theirs, when Grayson, little baby, was born, he immediately had to go into open heart surgery. You know, terrific terror around that. You know, they got through that, and this was through a night where, you know, somebody had tried to talk the mother out of letting them adopt, and all these things going on that night. They got through that whole crisis, then to find out that the little boy, the baby boy, has a disease called maple syrup urine disease, which means that every single day of his life, his dad has to monitor the food he gets, because if he gets too much protein, it could cause permanent brain damage and potentially kill him.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's their challenge on a daily basis. And if you see this family, again, the child is vibrant and glowing and just as fully in his personality. They have not made him a victim. In fact, they advocate for the hospital that he is at frequently, you know, whenever something threatening starts happening. But Grayson is this young spokesperson for the program there, and active and activist and everything else. And it's, you know, he's turned it around. He is not a sad victim. He is a live, vibrant, little young man. And that's due to incredible parents. So, yeah, it's really thrilling to be, you know, rubbing virtual elbows with these type of people.
Well, should we go from, you know, people doing good in the world to the, you know, I call it like maybe, and I'd love to talk about this too, you know, the naughty and nice companies but that are out there as we start getting ready to talk about holidays. But, you know, you've talked about some really nice people out there. What about some naughty people who are making the news? Any thoughts
right,
on anything
go
that's...
from the sublime to the ridiculous?
Yeah, exactly. Well, so what's ridiculous in the LGBT world this week?
Well, I don't know if this is ridiculous, but it is a difficult story with everything that's going on with Charlie Sheen. The one positive is that because he has come out now as being HIV positive, and he had his doctor on I think it was the Today Show where they had the conversation, they actually did put out some good updated information about what it means to be HIV positive today with medication and, you know, undetectable viral loads and, you know, responsible living and that type of thing. It was, you know, that part was productive. Charlie Sheen's lifestyle, you know, I don't know. And now apparently there's some sex tape out today that, you know, is kind of opening up on his sexuality. And that part I'm not as keen about.
Well, I think the thing that, and quite frankly, you know, I don't live in a glass house. So, you know, so for me to make any comments about anything, you know, that he's, you know, going through is, you know, and I don't want to get involved in the HIV status or anything, but let's face it, you know, the guy has done some really wild and crazy things over the last, you know, 10, 15, 20 years. He's had a lot of issues with substance abuse and, you know, rehab and, you know, weird relationships and things that I think that just fall outside of the norm. So I don't know. I thought that, and again, I'm not telling anybody how they need to live their life or any of that kind of stuff, but I thought it was interesting that he decided to make this public because, as one report said, he said, I'm looking out for my children's best interest and, you know, the money that they would extort for me takes money away from my kids. And I thought that's an interesting way to look at trying to, publicly recover from, you know, something that is, you know, this is a no-win situation for anybody. And all it does is make, you know, him just, it puts him in such a bad light in all ways possible.
I'm just kind of shocked. Each day something new starts to come out, and I don't know why I'm shocked, but I'm going like, now we have a sex tape. Do we really need to see that? I never want to see that, and please make that go away. But this is going to be the new Starbucks Red Cup thing for the next week. Rob, did I lose you?
Can you hear me?
Oh, there we go. I can hear you now.
Oh, okay. I don't know what that...
I don't know.
It's raining. It's raining here. The electrons may not be flying right now.
I think that's the case. I thought I just shocked you to death.
I know. Unshockable. It would have been nice on two fronts. One, that if somebody was going to come out as HIV positive, that it not come out with all these innuendos and tour details and mystery and, and doing it because, it's his alternative to blackmail. Also, if he was going to come out as bisexual, God knows the bisexual community needs people and celebrities coming out and saying, I'm not gay, I'm not straight, I'm bi, this is who I am, and that's it. I mean, both those things need somebody to put a face to them in a responsible way. And I don't know, we'll wait and see, but I don't know if Charlie Sheen's going to step up to being that responsible person for either one of those.
I would like to say that he would be, but historically, any time that he comes out and sounds, rational and whatever, I think it's a momentary lapse of insanity. And because that's kind of what I think any time that he says anything that makes halfway, decent sense, because, the next thing you know, he's off on some, crazy rant and rave again, and you're like, oh, there's Charlie Sheen.
Right.
And I think the thing that was, and again, I'm not trying to be the pot calling the kettle black, but Tony makes a good point. He's sending me a note on Facebook. He says, he says, well, I'm trying to save the money that I'd, pay to people who are blackmailing me, so I can give that money to my kids. And he makes a good point of saying the money he spent on hookers and drugs was supposed to go to his kids too. So,
right.
But I don't know. I just think that the whole thing, it's so sad for, anybody that's connected to him, because they must be going, ugh. But, I also heard that even Sony, who knew about his HIV status, they were placing bets internally within the company, or, real bets, but it was like, well, I'll bet you that, that he was even going to make it through his 100-episode run for that anger management series because he was such a wreck, and not because of his HIV status, but because of his alcohol and drug use.
Well, and that's the real elephant in the living room is drugs and alcohol abuse. I completely feel for him. I've got I'll be celebrating 34 years sober in March, and it's that is something that you need to get if that is plaguing you, you need to get ahead of it because it will run your whole life. And like I said, it's in context of that the other things are, it's unfortunate in terms of public perception and everything else. HIV is not caused by drug abuse. Certainly poor judgment, puts you in situations where you're vulnerable, but it is actually very easy for people to lull themselves into, poor judgment being completely and totally sober. And that awareness really needs to be out there. Doing something crazy when you're drunk or loaded is no surprise to anyone.
Right.
And it is not really a healthy thing for the perception to be that, if you aren't drugged up or loaded or drunk, that you don't have to worry about HIV, because you do. It doesn't care. And likewise, there's this other aspect to it too, is that, his sexuality is that of being bisexual, then a lot of his behavior may have been to cover that part of himself, and having self-loathing.
Yeah.
I mean, we are in a homophobic world even now with the progress, and that is one of the byproducts is, you know, people who are growing up and know that that's part of them want to reach out for things that will cover it so it doesn't show, doesn't come out. And my concern is that the perception here, especially in certain camps, is going to be, you know, use drugs, alcohol, abuse it, you're going to turn bisexual. And that's not the situation.
No, not at all. You know, and I was listening to Jenny McCarthy on her show on SiriusXM, Dirty Sexy Funny, and I tend to listen to that either on a replay or if I am, you know, just depends upon how the radio works for me in the morning and what's going on in, as far as calls and emails and that type of thing. But, you know, she says, you know, she'd been on the show with Charlie Sheen, and she's got a lot of flack from people in the LGBT community over comments that she made. And I will just tell you, I heard her make the comments, and in the context of what she was saying, I don't have any issue with anything that she said. And for anybody who didn't hear her actually make the comments live and then say, oh, Jenny McCarthy sucks and, you know, she can, you know, go to hell and all this other kind of stuff, said, you're just like everybody else who reads these dumb political memes and then, you know, makes all these stupid-ass comments on social media and you think you're really cute. But if you listen to what she had to say, you know, that was not it at all. But one of the things that she said coming out of L.A., you know, she moved away from L.A. and went to Chicago and New York, you know, and she's happily married now and, you know, all the good stuff that's going on. She goes, well, one of the reasons I left L.A. is because I got sick and tired of these guys who would say that they were straight, but they were really bi or that they were fluid or whatever. And she goes, I wanted to move to New York because at least, you know, here in New York, I knew the guys were straight. That wasn't, you know, they weren't, you know, just kind of like on this fence. But she goes, back in Hollywood, everybody's that way. And I'm like, really? I thought that was interesting. Of course, I don't have experience to, you know, talk about that one way or the other, but I thought, you know, here's somebody who's been in Hollywood, you know, in the A-list circle and has had a lot of experience at parties and the social scenes that, you know, and she probably knows. So I thought that was really an interesting comment to make. Rod, I've lost you again. I'm stunning Rob today into silence. I think that's what it is. So
can you hear me now?
I can.
That's weird. I may be holding the phone wrong. I may all of a sudden be covering my mic off. You're stunning my phone. But my gut reaction to her comment is, oh, honey, there. You know, you got equal numbers everywhere. It's just,
right,
you know,
right.
If L.A. makes them more out about it, then that's what she's encountering. But there are very interesting statistics about kind of bisexuality. The studies of young people now shows that a whopping 40% of young people are identifying as something other than straight. And
wow.
This is a generation that is coming out of where most of them have not been raised with taboos about homosexuality, and, you know, it's like they're much more aware of that. And so I think they are taking a more honest assessment of themselves and their own feelings and their own impulses. And, you know, our previous generation, anything like that was, you know, you heard it, you know, it's a phase, it's going away. It's, no, you know, you're not that, you're not really that. You know, it's like suppress, suppress, suppress. So, and that falls in line with what Kinsey had theorized back in the 50s or 60s that, you know, there's this bell curve of sexuality and there are people that are on one pole or the other. And yes, I am fully in gay camp. Thank you very much. But that there is this whole majority that is kind of in the middle that may live, you know, as heterosexuals or may live as gay people, but that in fact they do have impulses, you know, somewhere in between.
Well, yeah, I think that, you know, the fact that it's getting more attention nowadays is, I find it interesting because, again, you know, like you said, you know, 30 years ago when I was going to high school, you know, I wouldn't have even known what, you know, half of these terms would have been, and I don't think anybody did. You know, we just, you know, we're learning and growing as we go. But it's interesting to see the response that we're getting socially, and I just wish a lot of folks would get off of their high horse and moral high ground. And I don't care if, you know, it's you're on the right wing, the left wing, the middle wing, the center seat, you know, the back of the plane, the front of the bus, whatever it is. But, you know, to sit here and be so judgmental about all, you know, all these different things that are going on. Here I am talking about Charlie Sheen, so I should apologize to anybody who's listening. But, you know, you just see everybody just go, oh, you know, this and that. I just am like, I want to sound like Rodney King. Why can't we just all get along? It would just seem like such an easier path to go down. You know, we've got about 4 minutes left, and I want to sneak in maybe a favorite Christmas tune that we might all know and love. So in like the next minute or so, is there, you know, how are you going to spend Thanksgiving? What's coming up for your family, and do you have a special dish that you make?
My special dish, the contribution, is this thing called broccoli in a cloud, which is this dish with broccoli spears and this big fluffy meringue parmesan cloud that goes over it. So I'm going to be making that, and I'm going to be traveling. I'm going to travel to my folks, to my sister, to my in-laws. So we are going to be on the move for the next few days.
Right on. And Tony wants me to make sure to remind you, you better be watching the Macy's Day Parade and making sure that you're looking out for Tony and his float, which again is going to be the, I'm scrolling back here.
Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
See, you've got the memory. I can't even remember my name at the time. Anyway.
Because I knew what it was.
easy
to remember it when you know it.
Yeah, there we go. Well, I will tell you, I'm excited for the time that we've spent together today, and my computer just decided it wanted to do something. I don't know what's happening. I'm thinking I need to, like, back it up or something. This is, like, day number two. Who knows? I may have to see if I can end the show. I'll have to go on to my iPad and see if I can go on and end the show. Unless, you know, Rob, we want to sit here and talk for a little bit longer. We can just kind of ramble until I can get this figured out. But
We can do that. I will make one more further comment on the Jenny McCarthy thing. Is, you know, I've gotten to know a lot of bona fide bisexual men. And I say that because a lot of us who are gay have claimed to be bi as we were on our way to owning that we were just fully gay. I did it. Tom Daly did it. You know, a lot of people publicly have done that. But, you know, when I talk to real bisexual men, the fact is that they simply don't look at gender as part of their attraction criteria. And so to look at people and say, oh, I need to get away from bisexual men, is not because they're going to pick men in addition to her. It's just that, you know, where somebody else might like redheads and blondes, they like men and or women.
Yeah. And that's,
it doesn't have to be more complicated.
I think that is a great point to make. So, outside of the traveling, what else do you have coming up from a writing standpoint? Do you have shows? I mean, I know you've got your show this Saturday, but do you have other articles that you're working on right now that we need to know about?
Nothing. Those are the current ones, though. Those are pretty fresh, so I'm kind of in the middle of those right now. I'm sure something will come to me post-haste following up on those.
Cool.
But I don't know what it is yet.
That's fine. So I just got the audible prompt in my ear that we've got 90 seconds left. So now we can actually, now I know what's going to be taking place. So we've got 90 seconds to vamp a little bit. I wish I could figure out how to, I'm on my iPad right now. I think we're just going to have to kind of wing it and wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. Rob, I think we get you one more time. I get you, I think, on the last, I say the last speaking show, the last non-musical show of the year, which is Thursday, December 17th. So we'll be back for our December edition. Then we'll be talking about holiday plans and what's going on for the LGBT community at that point. And I think that's it. Rob, anything else you want to add real quick?
I'll have something about Santa Claus on your next show.
Can't wait. Either. Yay. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day. Sure appreciate you being here. Make sure to follow Rated G Radio on Facebook and follow the show here, and you'll get an update every day that we're live. That's 5 days a week.